Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
It is Bump and Stacy. We are live from T-Mobile Park for opening day. The Mariners opening up their season with a series against the Red Sox. Right now, it's technically Bump, Stacy, and Justin because Mariners GM Justin Hollander joining us right at the top to get things started and talk about what's a very exciting roster for 2024. Justin, how's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me.
We are so happy to have you here, especially just right at the top of the show so we can take a look at what's going on. You guys just released officially your 26-man roster. So I'm going to get started with looking at the bullpen. I know it's a random place to start, but you've got some different names. Obviously, you guys have had some injuries there. But tell me about some of these guys, either that you've added or some newer names that people are a little less familiar with.
Sure. I think a bullpen's probably always going to be a cast of some mix of existing guys that everybody's comfortable with and familiar with and new faces.
Cast.
Exactly. So we'll have some new faces this year. We signed Austin Voth as a free agent in the offseason. Austin's really flexible in what he can do. He's had a lot of success over the years pitching in mixed roles, so he could start if we needed him to start. He can fill more of a long man role if that's what you need. He can also go pitch an inning at a time with sort of bigger stuff. His velo will pick up in short bursts, so he's an exciting add for us because of his versatility to do different things. We just announced today that Cody Bolton and Colin Snyder had made the club. Mm-hmm. Those were two guys that we acquired in the offseason, Cody from Pittsburgh and Colin from Kansas City. Cody really excited about what he brought to the table this spring training. You know, added a two-seamer in the offseason, sort of a big sweepy slider that he's had in the past, and also throwing a new cutter this year, which we're really excited to see how that plays out. Stuff was really good in the spring and probably one of our more consistent relievers that were in the mix in spring training for the bullpen competition spots that were open. And then Colin Snyder was a nice surprise, someone that we claimed on waivers towards the end of the offseason. Always had good stuff. We changed his pitch mix a little bit. He's been more of a two-seamer slider guy, and we made him into more of a slider cutter guy with an occasional two-seamer in the spring, and he really was able to pound the strike zone really, really good against lefties in the spring. We really like how the stuff projects to play out versus both sides, so really excited for both of those guys.
So Stacy went like specific to the bullpen. I'm going to go like just broader picture, right? My daughter, my kids do like hybrid learning. So they're taking all these different classes, and my daughter's doing a painting class, and she's walking me through her process when it comes to painting. She goes, you know, you do a little bit of here, and then you kind of step back and you look at it and you go back into it. I would assume maybe is this the first time of the year you're able to step back and kind of look at everything you guys have done and kind of take it all in? Like, how do you feel about where you guys are right now?
You know, it's not the first time you do that. It's the first time it actually what happens matters. So, like, you know, you get out in spring and, you know, this guy looks a little better than you think and this guy looks a little worse than you think, but you never really know. Spring training can fool you, can lie to you. It usually does. So when you get out here starting tonight, that's when you start to see, like, did we get it right or did we get it wrong? And it's really, like you said, on a bigger picture global basis, there's always going to be one player who sort of exceeds expectations and one who maybe doesn't quite meet the expectations. But as an aggregate roster, as a 26-man roster, does everything fit together or do we need to start making adjustments? And over the next 30, 45 days, we'll start to look at the roster in that way. How are these pieces fitting together and what adjustments do we need to make?
Let's talk about how some of the pieces are fitting together in terms of your lineup. I read a column over the offseason, Mitch Garver talking about signing here, and he said, you know, why'd I want to come here? Well, they really wanted me. They were like really, really aggressively pursuing me. They were adamant that they wanted me to come here. Why did you guys so badly think Mitch Garver's a fit here?
I think, you know, going full circle on what we just talked about, when you have certain players on your roster, they allow you to do different things. Obviously, Mitch has been a catcher most of his career. He had a lot of injuries stemming from catching, but we really believed in the bat, both from our scouting eye and from our analytics eye. One of the best bats on the market. Having Cal Raleigh, who you know is going to catch 120 games and who's a switch hitter and brings power to the middle lineup, allows you to sign Mitch Garver and say, you can just go hit for us. Yeah. We don't need you to go do the other stuff. So in our eyes, it was really a perfect roster fit. And to credit Mitch and his agent, they identified that early in the conversations as well. When we talked for the first time, I think everyone agreed, if we can find a way to make this work, this is a perfect fit, a perfect place for Mitch Garver to go hit in the middle of the lineup and not really worry about the other stuff.
No team ever comes back exactly the same. It's athletics, right? Things change all the time. How has your process when it comes to evaluating players changed? And then what things are kind of the core things things that you feel will never change when it comes to, you know, signing guys and finding the guys that you think are good fits?
It has changed over the years, and I think we'd be foolish and liars to say that we won't continue to change. You always have to adjust. If you don't have a growth mindset, if you're not willing to look at your own processes and find ways you can get better, look at your own mistakes and learn from them in some way, even if the process you thought was good, learn about where maybe the results went bad or what things could have told you that the results were going to go bad, you won't last very long. You're going to continue to make bad decisions. So I think our process will always evolve and change. The one thing in this organization that won't change is that we are about dominating the strike zone. It's very rare that there's going to be a player who plays a major part in our organization who we don't feel like in some ways can dominate the strike zone, whether that's on the mound or at the plate, swing at strikes, throw strike one, win the 1-1s, put themselves in position to have the best individual result possible and the best team result possible. And that comes from dominating the strike zone. That will always be a huge part of what we do in player development and scouting and in how we build our big league roster.
We'll get back to a few of the bigger names on this roster. I know fans are always excited to hear about Julio, to hear about George, Luis Castillo. But you said something really interesting in the offseason, which is you were reading the NFLPA player survey, which is, you know, an anonymous survey from NFL players when they talk about facilities and all the things that matter to them, travel, accommodations, things like that. And you looked at it as a baseball GM. Why? What did you take from it? And what have you done with it?
It's something that Jack Mossman and I, who's our vice president of Major League Ops, spend a lot of time on, Jack in particular, making sure the player experience is as good as it can be. You know, you're always going to have limitations in terms of, like, you can't just make a new room in a ballpark that has an existing footprint. Mm-hmm. But how can we make our family room better? How can we make our travel better? This year we did a weight room redesign, which was probably, you know, long overdue and something that Jack has really spent a lot of time working on. We also redesigned our Major League food room, our cafeteria. Small touches to make the players and their families feel like we're going the extra mile for them. It does go a long way. We're never going to be perfect. There's always going to be things, you know, we travel a lot. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that we can do about that. We'll travel the third most miles in baseball only because the Dodgers and Padres went to Korea. So we're always going to be top one or two in baseball in that. How can we make that experience as comfortable as possible for our players, for their families? You know, it's hard to play 162 games. What can we do to make it a little easier?
One tiny follow-up. When did the players see the weight room?
They saw it on Tuesday night when we got back
to
the studio.
Oh, so they just saw it. What was the reaction?
It was very good. I actually hadn't seen it either, so yeah. I walked back in with them.
You were like, what is this?
No, I knew it was coming, so yeah. It wasn't like Jack went off on his own with the credit card.
The people who planned this must be really cool.
No, they were really excited. You know, I walked in with Hanny. He was pumped. Obviously, he hadn't seen that area in over a year, so he was pumped about it. And then Julio was excited about both the cafeteria and the weight room. Again, just little things to make them feel like we're giving them every advantage possible. It's a big deal.
We're so fortunate to watch guys like Julio grow up, Cal, Ty's been here for a while. I would imagine for you guys it's rewarding, too, just to kind of see the type of player and men that these guys are becoming. How's that relationship changed as far as these guys growing up in this organization?
I think it's great for us. It's great for our fans. It's a real credit to our scouting and PD staffs, both on the international side and on the domestic side. We have good people. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's 26 guys on the roster and 180 minor league players or 165 minor league players. And it's hard to find someone who doesn't do the right thing. Doesn't do the right thing for a teammate, doesn't do the right thing for the organization, doesn't do the right thing for a coach that helped them, and doesn't do the right thing for the fans when there's a moment to do the right thing for the fans. And it's really cool. You know, I was in San Diego with the team, and we brought a lot of young minor league players with us to be extras in the game to make sure when it was time to get J.P. Crawford out of the game, we could go do that. And the way our veteran players interacted with our young players was really cool to see. Luis Castillo holding court with a group of young players and Bryce Miller, who's a young player himself, hanging out in the food room with a bunch of young players who are still in the minor leagues, not on the major league roster. And that's the sort of organizational culture that I think really pays dividends down the line. And it's really a credit to our players and our player development staff and scouting group.
Let's talk about some of those bigger names. Luis Castillo on the mound tonight for Seattle. I was just talking with I was having a conversation with Mike Salk, actually, and we were both kind of, you know, as hosts talking about, hey, you know, where are you talking when it comes to baseball and where are you kind of overlooking it? And we both realized that we had been talking about all the new pieces and overlooking the superstars and overlooking the guys that are making this thing go. I mean, Julio, Luis, what are you excited to see from Castillo tonight? What do you love about him? Why is he so integral to this staff?
I think Luis, somewhat, like you said, in some ways gets overlooked or underrated.
Yeah.
And he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. He loves the big stage. He loves the big moment. We saw that in 22 when we acquired him. What he did down the stretch, what he did in the playoffs, when there's 40 plus thousand people here, he loves it. His mound presence, his ability to tune out the noise or sort of engage the noise in a way that helps him, you know, take a step in a big moment is really special. I'm really excited for him out there. You know, I saw something that, you know, the Mariners have one of the best records or the best record in baseball over the last 30 years on opening day. It's because we've had guys like Randy Johnson and Felix Hernandez and Luis Castillo take the mound, guys who live for those big moments.
I love Ty France, man. I feel like when this team is going, Ty is doing his thing, and we've seen the transformation that he's made with his body. How involved are you guys when it comes to his offseason and how he's going to approach it, and how much of it is just him taking ownership and saying, all right, I'm going to make myself better for my squad?
We're involved in the extent that we want to try and facilitate things that the player wants to do. Obviously, it's up to them. You know, we talk about this all the time. Ty France is the hero of Ty France's story. It's not the front office. It's not the coaches. Like, we're there to support him and the things that he wants to do and the areas where he thinks he can get better. We're not there to, you know, like, take credit for the work that he put in. It's a lot of discipline on Ty's part, a lot of hard work to get his body to the place it is now. He's really, really focused. He knows that he did not have the kind of year that he's capable of last year. I'm really excited to see what he can do this year. I think he's had a little chip on his shoulder. I think he was frustrated at the way things went last year. Obviously, he played through injuries over the last couple of years. It's just a function of how he plays that he has a natural skill for getting hit. It hurts, though, when you do that, and it can lead to changes. And I think for him, getting his body in the best possible shape this offseason, coming in with a mindset of getting back to all-star type France, I think we're going to see that play out this year on the field.
A very vague, open-ended question, but it's only because I'm curious as to what your gut reaction is. What is your favorite thing, or what are you most excited to see about the team you guys have constructed this season?
I love watching our five starters run through the rotation every week. I think that's such a unique thing that we have. And obviously, Brian's hurt right now, and we have the same expectations and the same standards for Emerson when he starts on the fifth day. I think what we have on the mound every night gives you a chance to win games every night. And that is something you talk about, things that are overlooked. I think we have the best starting rotation in baseball. What they do night to night, the quality of the stuff, the strike throwing, they pitch deep into games, they can strike people out, they can keep the ball on the ground. They deserve all the plaudits they seem to be getting over the last week or 10 days. For me, that's the most fun part. Also, it means less roster moves and less late night phone calls for me, which is a huge benefit for my own life.
I've played and coached teams with a whole bunch of type of personalities. But as you get through the season, I feel like teams kind of come together and kind of take on the same personality. Still got your individuals, right? But you take on a certain personality. How would you describe this team as they stand today?
Really disciplined, really hardworking, really focused. I think in a lot of ways, they have taken on some of the personality of the players and of Scott. Like, very focused on prep, very focused on their pregame routines, very driven. I think as a group, they really grew together over the 6 weeks. I think the culture coming out of spring, and everyone will say this, whether they're projected to finish in last or first, so I don't want to overvalue it, but the group really seems to like and respect each other. What we saw over the 6 weeks of spring and the mix of veterans and young players, probably different and more unique than anything we've ever had, really feel good about what the existing guys on the club, the returning players, have brought to the culture and how the new guys fit in. And I do think Mitch Haniger being a tie between those two things was really important for our offseason.
So here's my last question. We only have you for another minute here, but where does the general manager of the Mariners watch these games? Do you ever kind of slip into the crowd, go, you know, sit down with fans?
I will do that if my kids are here sometimes, just to go sit with them. Thankfully, I'm mostly anonymous and people don't throw things at me or yell at me very much, or they just feel bad if I'm with the kids. Most of the time I sit upstairs and watch and, you know, either eat my fingernails or eat chocolate chip cookies throughout the course of the game.
Just nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I went to an NBA game. I got introduced to someone from the Celtics when they were in Phoenix. So I went to an NBA game in spring training, and the assistant GM was sitting up in the crowd with Andy McKay and I. And I looked at him, I said, how do you do this? How are you sitting with the fans and just interacting? He's like, we clinched the number one seat a while ago. I'm good. And I was like, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, you're so nervous. Yeah. You're looking around like, oh God, I'm nervous too.
Yeah. A little different. They don't have any roster moves to make during or after
exactly.
a game and all that. And, you know, maybe if we get out of the gate hot and we have the division clinched at some point in August, I'll feel that way too. But I'm pretty stressful during a game. I wear it pretty hard. So I usually sit and pace most of the time.
All right. Well, we wish you the best of luck tonight. Let's hope that those nerves turn into just just excitement and jubilation over an opening night win, right? I'm sure that you will be many chocolate chip cookies into the game.
I would love to get off to a great start, and there'll be cookies of joy instead of cookies of stress.
Exactly. Justin, thank you so much.
Thanks
We've
for
got
having
to continue
me.
Our
Thanks,
segment, but you have a very busy day, so we'll let you go. But we appreciate you joining us. He is Mariners GM Justin Hollander, kind enough to joining us at the opening of our show on opening day. Thank you so much, Justin.
Thanks a lot.
All right, let's get to headline rewrites.
Headline rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacy.
Headline number one, Pat Chun introduced today as Washington's new athletic director. What's the real headline?
Good luck hearing Pat Chun's press conference over the groaning of Cougs fans. No offense, guys.
Man, I was on Instagram, Twitter yesterday going through, seeing what the reaction is. And, I mean, people are hot. And
they are real
rightfully
hot.
Rightfully so. You feel what you're supposed to feel. Business decision, like I've been saying the last couple of days, but I can understand where people are coming from. I mean, Pat was kind of leading the charge when it comes to saving the Pac-2 and making sure Washington State and Oregon State gets all their money. The question now is, what notes did he leave behind for the next guy up or the next woman up? Because they got some big shoes to fill when it comes to organizing the Pac-2 and figuring things out. Tough position to be in if you're Pat when it comes to the relationships with WSU, but something tells me that bag is going to be all right.
Curtis, you noticed something interesting about an interaction between Kirk Schultz, Wazoo president, and what he told Coug fan. What'd you see?
Yeah, Coug fan posted an interview with Kirk Schultz yesterday, and an interesting thing is that Schultz and Chun were having a conversation about filling the basketball head coaching vacancy left by Kyle Smith. That was Monday, and at the very end of that conversation, Schultz said Chun dropped that he had interest in the Washington job, and then by the very next day, he was already gone to Seattle. Like, that's crazy to me just how quickly that thing moved from just showing interest, and who knows, maybe Chun had maybe had a little more than just interest in the job at that time. Clearly, you know, he like 12 hours later, he was gone, but just to see how quickly things developed in that whole situation. Insane stuff.
Can I ask a random sports question for you guys? I obviously, I'm a Husky, so I don't feel a sense of betrayal from Chun going from Wazoo to UW, nor do I see it as like a huge red flag. I'm like, oh, cool. Now we have an athletic director. Awesome. I was a little bit nervous. However, I think I've definitely felt sports betrayal before. Mm-hmm. When was the last time, or have you ever felt sports betrayal? Most Mariners fans would point to A-Rod, something like that.
I almost felt it back when I was a teenager when Kobe went out of L.A. Mm. Things were going down with him, Phil, Shaq, and all that good stuff, and he went out. If that would have happened, I would have been devastated. But honestly, man, me being a former athlete, I just get it. I understand.
Yeah.
It's rare that a person stays with a team their whole career. That's just how it goes, man. Ever since free agency was introduced to the sport, and now in college sports when it comes to these players, it is what it is, man. So I feel it for a little bit, disappointed for sure, because I like Pat and I like what he did for the university. But and I know how the game goes.
Yeah.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, a very chalky Sweet 16 gets underway this afternoon. What's the real headline?
The Sweet 16, where two-time national champion NC State is our only Cinderella story. It's not going to be a really riveting. Well, no, I take that back. It's going to be a great Sweet 16. You got great games here on your bracket. We're just out of any Cinderella stories, any huge upsets, one double-digit seed remaining, and only two of the top 12 teams have actually been eliminated so far, with Baylor and Kentucky, who ruined my bracket. Congratulations, Taylor, on eventually winning our work bracket.
You love to see those stories, right? James Madison, Dayton, when they're in the mix. But, you know, it's almost refreshing to see the guys who are supposed to be there, or the programs that are supposed to be there, actually be there. So, yes, if you went with the boring picks in your bracket, then you're probably sitting pretty right now. Me, personally, I had a couple upsets in there that messed me all up. But it's still all good, man. I love seeing some good basketball. This is when the elite take the court and get it done.
Exactly. And the elite are really all that's left. You got Arizona, number two, opening up play, 4:09 p.m. tip-off against number six, Clemson. Number one, UConn, wide favorite for most fans, taking on number five, San Diego State. The Aztecs and Huskies are playing at 4:39, so both of those two games going to be running almost simultaneously. Number one, North Carolina, taking on number four, Bama, at 6:39. And around the time the Mariners first pitch, you're going to have number two, Iowa State, playing number three, Illinois.
Headline Rewrites.
Headline number three, Washington is holding their pro day today. All 32 teams present. What's the real headline?
Roma Dunze won't participate in today's workouts, but will Michael Penix?
Michael Penix should throw the rock a couple of times. You don't have to do the shuttle, the 40, the L drill, broad jump, vertical, none of that. Just go out there and show these scouts what they could be missing out on, because he does have one of the strongest arms in college football right now. Mm-hmm. As far as Roma Dunze, he went to the combine and did exactly what he was supposed to do. He even stayed late trying to work on the L drill to get the time that he
which
wanted.
Was cool.
Which was cool, but I'm also like, bro, go sit down, stop risking
injury. No, stay extra, Rome.
I'm sure his agent was like, all right, man, you're good. But these guys have put themselves in position to make any decision that they want. If Penix wants to throw, he's good. I suggest that he does, but I'm all good with Rome sitting down and just supporting his teammates.
It's going to be a really good wide receiver class. And we don't talk much about Neighbors either. But, yeah, I mean,
he ran a 4.38 at LSU's pro day.
Minimum two in the top 10. I don't know that we get three in the top 10. Three, I think receivers? You're going to have, because you got Joe Alt, you're going to have some other guys go.
Cardinals, Chargers. I think Atlanta's in the top 10.
Yeah, but they've.
I can see three going.
Oh, man. You think Atlanta would take one?
I don't know.
I know. It's just the only wild card. I agree. It's the only wild card in there. They got their quarterback. Yeah. They got some guys. Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. All right. Well, we have a big show for you guys. It is opening day. And here's the thing that I think both Bump and I wanted to make clear. I'm ready to have some fun today. Let me tell you what my day is going to be. Mm-hmm. We are live from T-Mobile Park. We were watching Tucker play fetch earlier. People are out here tending to the field. It's going to be a very fun day. I want to have a fun day, Bump. Okay.
I'm with you.
I want to have a hot dog. I want to have some snacks.
No hot dog for me.
I want to have some hard seltzer. You know what I mean? Some rosé. I want to have a great day. There is going to be many days when we take a more critical lens and look at this team. I'm tired, man. I don't want it to be today.
No, I'm with you.
I just want to have fun today. Let's just have fun today. And that's what we're going to do. That's why coming up at 10:45, we're going to take your bold takes. Now, this one's going to be for the season. So think about what you want. And by the way, plenty of newness and fun stuff at the ballpark this season. So if you plan on making your way out here today, as many of you are, you want to hear from our next guest. It's opening day. Don't go anywhere.
Opening day. You're listening to Bump and Stacey live from T-Mobile Park.
We are live from T-Mobile Park, and joining us right now, Mariners Director of Marketing, Mandy Lincoln. Hey, Mandy, how's it going? Love the jacket.
It's going. My sparkle's brand new.
I love it. It's celebratory. It's exciting. And that's exactly what opening day should be. So we are talking with you from a fan perspective so that we can understand everything happening with opening day, because y'all already know it's not just any game. It's opening day. It's celebratory. So there's new stuff at the ballpark. Promotions that we're going to learn about, and then just game day stuff that people should know about. So let's talk with the opening. Let's start with opening day festivities.
Yeah.
What should we know about what's going on tonight?
I mean, opening day is unlike any sporting event that exists. So it really is rolling out the red carpet for this team and just the start of this season. So anyone coming to the game wants to get here early. Ceremony start at 6:30, and it's a jam-packed pregame show. We'll of course have our player introductions or the fan favorites. I can't wait to see Mitch Haniger get that welcome back.
Oh my God. If he got a standing ovation at spring training,
yes.
I can only imagine the crowd when he comes out here in this one.
Yes. So we'll have those guys coming out of there. We have Ben Gibbard is singing the national anthem. After that, we'll have Make-A-Wish running on the bases. 11-year-old Seton, that gets me every time.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best traditions in Mariners baseball. You know, Julio will receive his second silver slugger. It's a little pomp and circumstance there. And then welcoming back an old Mariner, Nelson Cruz, to throw out the first pitch.
Love it.
You know, and we have a few little surprises up our sleeve. I won't share all the secrets. I will tell fans that are here at the ballpark to tune in the middle of the fifth inning for what you think might be a new tradition here at T-Mobile Park.
Okay.
Well, that might be the answer to my question. I was gonna ask you, I read something that said, like, Mandy makes sure, like, a first-time attendee becomes a Mariners fan. Is that something, is the fifth inning, is that something that's going to make someone who's never been here before want to become a Mariners fan? But if not, what can a first-time attendee expect that will make them want to be a Mariners fan?
That's the beauty of coming to a Mariners game. It's like there's something for everyone. So maybe this mid-five thing will be somebody's cup of tea. Other people might be coming and they're like, I want the value beers. Like, that's what their thing is. They want to, you know, have a beer with friends, strangers, whoever it is. So there's a little bit for anyone. Again, if it's a first-time fan, if, I would say, especially if you're a kid, sign up at the Mariners Kids Club, free. You get the hat, you get the lanyard, and it unlocks a lot of access to digital newsletters, discounts, free tickets. Again, something I would have killed for as a kid when I was a Mariners fan.
And how do they sign up for Kids Club?
We have two locations in ballpark, one out on the main concourse in center field, one upstairs in the 300 level, or online at mariners.com/kidsclub. Super easy. Again, sign up free and you can walk away with it today.
Yeah. So we know who's throwing out the first pitch. We know there's going to be some kind of surprise in the fifth inning. We do know that there's plenty of new actual things in the park, new food items. There's going to be some new stuff here. I don't know what you can already tell us. However, I am excited to try absolutely everything. How excited are you guys to kind of, you know, it's one thing when we as sports radio hosts talk about the new team that's going to be on the field. I would imagine for you guys behind the scenes, you're like, it's so much more than that. Wait until you guys get here and try this new food that we have and see this new stuff. Like, it's an experience.
Yeah, Jerry and Justin can handle the team on the field. We're responsible for everything else around. So yes, our Sodexo, our food and beverage partner, we've been working with them. A lot of fun stuff. You know, Moto Pizza came out last year.
Oh, so good.
They're bringing out a crab version this year.
Have you tried it?
I haven't tried it. I missed the media day preview.
Oh.
But I heard rave reviews, so I'm going to have to check that out, get in line early. The thing that I'm interested in is the Mitch Witch.
Yeah.
The combo of Mitch Garver and Mitch Haniger's favorite sandwiches coming together. So again, just some, again, well, kudos to our F&B team because, again, they do such a good job of having some creativity to what they roll out. And then there's, of course, our value menu. That again makes coming to the ballpark affordable for everyone. So whether it's the food items or I mentioned that everyone wants to know, I think I get a few texts every opening day that says, Mandy, where are the value beers? Give me the secret locations.
Tell me where to go.
Yes. Secret spots. And now they're as low as I think $4.50. So again.
So listen, any college kids listening right now, first of all, anyone, I remember when I was in college right now, I'm listening going, okay, Mandy, so there's a value menu and value beers in the park. I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
Is there something that you're most excited about going into this year? I obviously, you guys change a lot of things up. You mentioned the value menu, the meals that you have going. Is there something specific where you're like, I am really proud of this, and I can't wait to see the reaction of the fans once they get a hold of it?
You know, I work in our marketing department, and we've got a talented productions team, experiential team that have been working on a lot of the programming that you'll see on Mariner's Vision, on the ribbon boards, and just how do we create this electric atmosphere. Again, we can't control what the outcome is on the field, but we can react to it. And so there's some fun stuff that they've been working on. You know, we dropped a video last night that'll be our show open today, but just how do we foster that energy here at the ballpark, give that competitive advantage. So I'm excited how we're leveling up our game entertainment.
So it doesn't just stop with opening day, clearly. You work on this not only all off season to plan all of this, but it continues into the season. So let's talk about some of the upcoming promotions outside of just opening day. And feel free to look as far ahead as you want. Like, I was thinking opening series, you know, maybe the first two. But if you're like, wait until May, like, we've got this really, you wait. Like, this summer, we've got this. Like, feel free to just, you know, lay it out.
I would say we're coming out of the gate hot in the month of March.
Soon to be April.
You know, starting with, we obviously have the Red Sox in town, good competition there. But then we're trying something new next week, April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Mm-hmm. Julio Rodriguez, no-fly zone bobblehead. Nice. And rather than giving 20,000 fans, you know, on one night, we're trying it out over the course of three nights. So 10,000 each night, 30,000 total. Again, fun promotion. Marketable guy. You probably saw the commercial that came out with he and Ichiro there, the digital short. So it's just perfect timing for the release of this bobblehead. And then fast forward to the next homestand, and we'll be having a Ken Griffey Jr. bobblehead. Again, over 3 days. This one, it's his first of all the bobbleheads that we've done for Jr. We all of a sudden realized we've never had a defensive one. So we're like, we called him up. We said, hey, are you good if we do a bobblehead? And we've never done defense. What do you want? And he specifically picked out, he's like, I want the home run robbery in 96, the Kingdom against Albert Bell. And we're like, all right, you climbing a wall, let's do it.
I like that he had it ready, Bump. I bet if I was like, what was your like favorite touchdown in college? You'd be like, oh, well, it was funny you say that.
Got you.
You'd have it immediately ready.
Yeah, USC 2006.
See, this just, athletes just know. They just are immediately able to recall it.
How marketable is this team? Because I'm listening to you talk about them. You got Julio. Obviously, Ichiro is still a part of this. It has to be fun to work with a team with personalities like that.
Yeah, because they weigh in. You know, they have opinions on it. The J-Rod squad is making its return out in center field this year with our friends at Adidas. And Julio was, you know, designing every inch of the way. So it's nice to get their perspective. You know, we're always listening to hear what comes out of their mouths, what comes out of fans' mouths to say, you know, what are you interested in? You know, there's other things that are coming up later this month. The turn ahead the clock jersey that we know fans love, the clamor for, you know, we can't keep them off the shelves when they used to be in the team store. So that was something that says, let's give the fans what they want. Here's the turn ahead the clock jersey. And then the very next day on April 27th, it's a turn back then to the 90s night.
Oh, I like the flip.
Yeah, the flip-flop of the clock is, I think, how we're going to try to explain
it. I like
it.
It is, you know, Bump's so right. We only have another minute, so, yep. but Bump's so right. It's you know, we talk so much about how athletes change in different ways, but as someone from marketing in sports, it must be really fun that athletes become so much more willing to do this fun stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the guys that you guys are going to get in 5-10 years will have had branding on their mind,
yes.
like this
yeah.
kind of interaction on their mind. And so, you know, from the point of view of like a random coach, they're like, pay attention.
Yeah.
But from a marketing director, you're like, this is great.
Yeah. And this generation right now of players understand social media and
they
their brand
it.
And so they're all about it, which makes it even more fun to put all these things together.
Okay, so you can sign up for Kids Club, Mariners.com, and then at two locations in the park. Like Mandy said, there's also tons of value items. There's new food items. You guys are going to have an absolute blast. Nelson Cruz throwing out the first pitch and a surprise in the fifth inning. I cannot wait to see what this is, Mandy. What a tease. All right, she is Mariners Director of Marketing, Mandy Lincoln. Mandy, thank you so much for joining us. You have a very, very busy day. Everyone we're pulling in, we're like, we're sorry.
No,
thanks for 10 minutes, but this was a blast. We appreciate it so much.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, don't go anywhere. It is opening day. Not a better day than for predictions and optimism. So get yours in for Bold Take Thursday. Text it to the Mac and Jack's text line. This is for the season, not for the day. So your bold take for the season, 866-979-3776. Bold Take Thursday coming up next.
It's time for Bold Take
Thursday.
The edit from Curtis always makes me laugh. It is Bold Take Thursday, normally on a Friday during the Seahawks season, but the Mariners get in the spotlight today, and so is the day of actual Thursday, because it is opening day. Luis Castillo on the mound for Seattle, taking on the Boston Red Sox. It is time for your boldest takes, and here's the deal. Later in the show, I am going to have a challenge, an opportunity for Curtis and Bump. Unfortunately, only Curtis and Bump can win this one. However, you guys get to call your shot on this one. So Curtis and Bump and me later in the show, we're going to talk about just tonight and make our predictions. You guys are going for the season. This is a full season bold take on the Seattle Mariners. Get yours in now to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. I'll get this one started. Bold Take Thursday from the 253. The Mariners will be in first place in the AL West at the end of May, have a 14-game win streak in July, win the AL West with 97 wins. Oh, my God. They do the whole thing. Julio hits 40 home runs on his way to MVP. Kirby wins the Cy Young Award. This is the best season ever from the 253. You know, we're going to talk about it next, so I'm spoiling our 11 a little bit, but it is important for this team to start fast, Bump.
Yeah, it is important. And I'm excited to see if they do. I'm going to believe. I believe that they will. And I'm here for it, man. Is it time for my bold take?
Yes.
And this is for the season, correct?
For the season.
This
You're going to have,
the
now,
season.
You will be required, unlike listeners, to have one for tonight later in the show, but this is for the season right now.
I'm looking at some banners, Stacey.
Okay.
And I'm going to say they're going to throw an AOS championship banner up there.
Okay.
I'm buying into all the hype, and Julio is going to win the MVP. Let's go.
It is so depressing to see the last banner up there being 2001. But you know what? Let's add another. Let's continue that line. Get a couple more banners up there. I love it, Bump. AL West champs. Now, again, when we're talking about starting fast, well, guess who you're trying to beat? the last two AL West champs, right? The Rangers, who were actually won the World Series as a wild card, and then Houston, who was in the ALCS along with the Rangers. These are two really good teams who are both dealing with injuries to start the season. Again, we'll focus on it.
Jump on them. Come on.
Now, this one is exceptionally bold. Bold take Thursday from another 253. Mitch Haniger plays 140 games and hits 35 plus home runs with 110 RBI.
Oh, I didn't even wait for the second part of that. The 140, that was the hottest take of the day, I think.
Yeah. 140 games is, I'm not disparaging Mitch. That's more than I'm expecting from Mitch, and I would also be okay with less than that from Mitch.
If Mitch plays a buck 40 of them things, we're for sure raising a banner. I believe in him when he is healthy. We've seen what he does. I like that bold take.
Here's what I like about this bold take from the 206. How bold is it? Julio winning AL MVP.
You got to put some sauce on that, you know, some extra on that. Julio MVP and what?
Okay, so they did put a little bit of sauce.
All right.
It's a little spicy. Mariners winning the AL West with 101 wins.
101. I mean, that's my bold take. I just didn't put a number on the win, so I accept. I like that.
Yeah, they're
like
projected at, what, 87?
87? Yeah, 87-ish. It's not enough. Not enough.
Yeah, well, it is, quote, easier to make the playoffs now, but 90 has to be just what, the floor of what
89 last year?
87.
87, didn't make it.
Yeah, or 88, excuse me, 88 and 74 last year. From the 206, this one's about Ty France, and this is also very bold. Ty will hit 30-plus home runs.
30 bombs.
Is Ty really a home run guy?
Not really. Last year, opening day, though, he started off with a bomb, so,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's fair. Curtis, what's your bold take?
My bold take, so I don't know if I'm breaking the rules here, because mine kind of stops at the midway point of the season.
I'll allow it.
So where was the All-Star game at last year? It was right here.
Yeah, it would be here.
T-Mobile the Park,
house.
Right.
It was at the house. And we had the All-Star game at home.
The unfortunate thing is that it kind of got overtaken by Texas Rangers players. I think there was four in the American League starting lineup. Well, guess where the All-Star game is at this season?
It wouldn't be at the Rangers place.
It would be. And you know how many Mariners are going to be in the starting lineup of the All-Star game?
How many, Curtis?
Four of them things.
That's right.
You got Cal Raleigh. He'll be your starting catcher. You've got J.P. Crawford, starting shortstop. Julio in center, obviously. And then Luis Castillo will be your American League starting pitcher at the All-Star game. Book it. It's going to happen.
Oh, that's a good one. Someone said the hottest take is really Julio winning the Cy Young Award. that is true. That no one's touching that bold take. That one stands on its own. Let's see. Now, this one is a bold take that sounds like an insult, but it's not. From the 253, Luis Castillo ends up being the third best starting pitcher.
Mm. I like it and I don't at the same time.
Yeah.
I like it and I don't. I want Luis Castillo to be the guy, but if he's not, that means that other guys are really balling. I just don't want that to happen because Luis isn't being the guy that we know and love.
What's the most accidental insult compliment anyone's ever given you? Because this texter did not mean, this texter saying this rotation will be so good that our ace ends up being the third best guy, and it's all optimism. He's very excited for the season, but it does sound funny when I read it. What is the most accidental backhanded compliment anyone's ever given you?
Oh, you're bigger than I thought.
Oh, that is fun. Yeah. Someone told me once, you sound 5'8". I was like, thank you.
Thank you.
509, Dom Canzone representing all Italians at the All-Star game. Hey. Yeah, I like that. Hey. Let's see. Bold take. The Mariners will shock the MLB, and their pitching will have the best stats in Major League history. Best stats in Major League history is a tough one. However, can you make the case the Mariners have the best starting rotation?
You can make the case. So if they were to ball out, I don't think it would be a shock because everyone is saying that this is a top three rotation in the game. But to make history, I'm all for that.
Now, this one is obscene. This bull take is obscene. It's more obscene than any bull take I could possibly have. I like it, though, because it's fun and it's dramatic. Bold take from the 360, nothing necessarily to do with the Mariners. The Rangers finished fourth.
Like it.
Mm-hmm. What?
I'm all for that.
Oh, God. From the 206, Mitch Haniger gets MVP votes.
All right. Again, Mitch could be a sneaky, not even sneaky X factor. He could be an X factor. I look at him and I look at Ty France. If those guys exceed expectations just a little bit, I think this team will be supported, and the guys at the top of the line will be able to do that thing.
Bold take from the 360, Mitch Garver, Silver Slugger and All-Star. Let's talk about Mitch for just a second. because we talked about him with Justin Hollander, mm-hmm. and Justin talked about why they went and signed Mitch, why he was a perfect fit, their plans for Mitch. What did you make of his answer?
I like it. I think it's realistic for Mitch, right? You be your DH, you give Cal a break whenever you need it, and it's nice to have a guy. And Cal's been supported over the last couple of years with, you know, guys being the backup catcher, but there's nothing like having a guy like Mitch doing that. So I like it. I think this role suits him perfectly for this team. This is something we've needed for a couple of years now.
All right. What I need to know, someone's trying to claim all the other bold takes because they said the Mariners win the division and go on to win the World Series. All the other bold takes are givens if mine comes true. Come on.
Oh, 360. Stacey will actually wear teal on Teal Tuesday. Too bold, probably.
I will tell you right now, you're going to be wrong about that bold take.
Can are we not doing that?
No, we will. Oh, we are. It's just that I have one teal item. I just don't like teal.
Too,
it's not my color. It doesn't flatter me. It doesn't do anything for me. It's my least favorite color opposite of fuchsia.
But it's a bit. It's a bit that we do.
Yeah, but it means I have to go out and buy teal items.
As much as you double click, you can double click on some teal items.
Mm-hmm.
Are you accusing me of having a shopping addiction?
Hey, we've had conversations.
Standing through Amazon during the show?
No. Look, I don't during shop breaks? On Amazon during the show, first
during
of all.
Commercials.
I wait until commercial breaks. I wait until commercial breaks. What's the number two rule of the show, Curtis?
Oh, don't pocket watch.
Don't pocket That's watch, right. exactly. All right, you guys, it is never too early to start early. That is our theme for the Mariners in the month of April. Don't go anywhere. It's opening day.